Blog Talk Radio.
Fill my eyes the first time we kissed, the times we nearly said goodbye.
This is Satchin Ananda of Love. I want to welcome you to the Love Channel. I'm glad that you're tuning with me tonight. Not sure what's going on. I don't know where I am, what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing the show. I just really felt guidance to, again, do it tonight. I don't know about anybody else, but it really feels like it's a really weird reality for me. I don't know. I just feel like I'm kind of really going into the mindset of oneness. I'm really feeling the heart just sink into every moment with whoever I'm with. And it's just really unusual because it's so much about peace and so much about everything that I've been trying to reach my entire life and consciousness. And finally, it feels like it's happening. At the restaurant, it feels like everybody's family. It's like everybody that comes in is like, it's just so comfortable. There's no formalities. There's no egos. Everybody's just loving the food, the cooking. We love to cook. We love to serve. And it's just wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. But from the ego's perspective, it's a lot of questioning going on. Like, what is going on here? This is so unusual. And not that I haven't been one and felt the oneness, but this is different. I don't know. And so tonight, for the first time in a really long time, it's like I'm asking for guidance. I really need messages, I feel, because my monkey mind hasn't been monkey. It's really blank, and it's a weird place to be. So I didn't know where I was going to start tonight. I've been doing A Course in Miracles the last couple of weeks at the restaurant, and it's been really amazing to see how high the frequency can go when you're in an intimate relationship with just a few people and everybody's focusing on the same intent to love. And it's just wonderful. It's absolutely divine to remember that we are one with the one, the universal mind. So anyway, when I came into the room where I do my little show, I had seen the little book. I always have books around me. And this one was an Inner Child cards book that I bought many years ago. It was a deck of cards called The Inner Child. And I said, I'm going to just open to a page, and maybe that'll be the theme for tonight. And oddly enough, I opened to Aladdin and the Magic Lamp. And just before this, I had been on Facebook, and my girlfriend, her daughter Lisa, a girl that I know for over 35 years, my girlfriend Linda, her daughter Lisa had on her page a playbill from Aladdin, and here we go again. So there's no accident. And at the class last night, that's what we discussed. We discussed really being in your own energy and knowing that you are the heir to all that is, that you are the heir to the kingdom of heaven, you know. So anyway, I want to read a little bit of this. I mean, there's no mistakes, you know. I know that everything that I see in my perceptual reality and hear in my perceptual reality is an aspect of me out pictured, especially if it's in my face. In our periphery, there's a lot of things that we don't resonate with, but on some level, that aspect is or will be a part of us on some level. And so not to deny it, it's just a messenger. But this is right in front of me, so I say this is right here and now with me, this Aladdin. So this says, the story of Aladdin and the Magical Lamp describes a child's first adventure into a world of mental empowerment. In the actual tale, Aladdin is sent by a sorcerer into an underground garden to chain an old lamp. He is given a magic ring to help him on his journey. Aladdin finds the lamp, but he is unable to leave the garden. Accidentally, he rubs the ring, and a genie appears, granting him several wishes. Wanting to go home, the boy makes the wish and instantly returns to his mom's house. As the mother takes the lamp to sell it in order to buy food, a larger genie appears as the lamp is rubbed. Thus begins the amazing odyssey of Aladdin, an all-powerful genie, the magic lamp, and a quest for enlightenment on the path of good and evil. By the end of the tale, Aladdin has married a princess and, through cunning and ingenuity, has learned how to defeat the sorcerer who has attempted to steal the lamp for his own sinister purposes. Essentially, the magic lamp is a symbol of an illumined mind that is overlighted by a genie representing the powers, let me just go to the next page, of the spiritual world and the genius potential in every child. And that's exactly what we talked about last night in the class, because I always get the sense of remembrance that I am one with the source of all. And when I get that feeling, I feel like a little child. I feel like I'm on an adventure. I'm excited. It's Christmas Eve, I feel like, most of the time. And I know that the gifts are about to come into my reality. In every moment, when I realize that I am a child of the Most High. And when I go to that state of remembrance, I really feel innocent and rich beyond measure, and not in the monetary per se experience, and that doesn't happen, but in the heart center. And the solar plexus is excited. It remembers its home, in a sense. It remembers that it comes from heaven. And I get really excited. So when I'm teaching this in class, I get like this silly, giggly self that starts experiencing what it's like to know that she is one with the One. And the power that comes with that, the genius that I am, that resides within me, and all I need to do is be accepting and receptive to that aspect of me, and I am given in some sense of reality, I am given a rat magic lamp. And in that moment, I can ask of it anything that I desire, you know? So that's what was really powerful. Because this was all shared last night, and of course everybody in the class is excited because they can feel it in that moment, how much I'm in my own integrity, because I'm channeling what that which wants to come through me, that's saying, you are one with me, and I want you to have everything. And I always say this for years now. I've been saying, when people ask me in stores, if I'm, you know, going to Starbucks, or what would you like? I say, I want everything. I want everything. And that's a full acceptance, and the possibilities that lie with it are present in that experience, because you are open then as an open channel to receive that which desires to be born through you. And it's so beautiful. Anyway, so we went to, let me see where I am. excuse me. All right, so it says, the word genius comes from Latin and literally means to be inhabited by a genie. Wow, I didn't know that. The magic lamp also suggests the awakening power of a child's imagination. This aspect of the mind becomes the playground of fairy tales, myths, and the languages of ancient cultures. Imagination has had... has hidden within it the words imagi, and I'll never forget when that first came forth through me. I was laying in bed, and there was a picture in front of me that was a huge picture that said imagination, and I'm laying there, and I said, oh, my God, image magi, and I was like, oh, my God, nation. I got that, and I was, like, so excited about it, and then later on I saw it on one of the YouTubes, I think, by Bashar, and now it's saying it right here again. So that it says that imagination had hidden with it the word image and magi. The latter word derives from the old Parisian and means seer or wizard. Aladdin symbolizes every child struggling to learn about the magic of words, wishes, language, and communication with the outside world. Note that the genie, who the story has been living within the lamp in an underground garden, represents the inner manifestation of a child's unconscious life force. By making the genie obey his or her wishes, the child discovers the magical connections between thinking, words, actions, and results. The genie may also be considered the guardian angel of the childlike pure mind, a presence that seeks to guide the child to self-mastery and ego awareness. And my path is about self-realization, by the way. It is about self-inquiry and the remembrance of the true self within me, and to glorify it in the highest, to allow it to be born through me in my intent in every moment. It is from this awareness that a child learns to perform, create, and manifest outwardly the dictates of the spirit-illumined mind, or unconscious, the genie in the lamp. In the card, the boy is looking at the lamp, a sword, a wand, altar of crystals, signifying the four elemental forces of nature, water, air, fire, and earth, that he will use as tools to guide him on the path of self-realization. The bookcase behind him suggests the presence of Mercury, the winged messenger of the gods, When this card appears in your reading, realize that you are creating your own reality from every thought, word, and action rather than thinking analytically. Explore your creative genius. Recognize the power of affirmations and the need to to protect yourself from negative thoughts in the psychic atmosphere. Remember that naming objects and people is a magical art. All names are composed of letters, and each letter carries a numerical and spiritual vibration. The abracadabra, an open sesame of children's stories, rekindle the magic of using words as mantras of power or phrases of enchantment. Keep in mind that once the genie is out of the bottle, some danger of misusing power is always present. However, that danger can be transformed into a great adventure of consciousness and mental expansion. Let the light of innocence and imagination rekindle your passion for learning. And this card is the archetype for the magician, which is really cool. And with that, I really wanted to allow that which wants to come through me and to share it with myself out loud, which I always say, because everything in my world is a reflection of what I feel about me on some level. And so I want to just allow that which desires to be made known through me to be made known through me, because I really feel like an open vessel. So last night in the class, I really felt like I was completely in a medium energy. I was not really at all me. I wasn't Ananda. I was really being receptive to that which wanted to come through for the people that were at the class that were obviously ready to hear that they are one with the source of all being and that they had the power to bring forth anything. So before we left, one of the guys opened up to the section, Thy Will Be Done, God's Will Be Done, and that was one of the lessons. And God's will be done, the universal intelligence will be done. I don't like thy, because thy for me feels like it's the self, the small self. So I correct that, and I usually say love's will be done or God's will be done. But to really allow yourself to feel the essence of remembrance that I am one with infinite potential, one with infinite knowing. And when I go there, it's almost like I've been lifted beyond the body, that I've allowed myself to lift the burden that I've been carrying, you know, trying to be something that I'm really not, the body that I call Ananda, or, you know, mommy, or, you know, wife, or girlfriend, or daughter, or whatever, and, you know, to actually be lifted above the circumstance and allow myself to kind of float in this reality and allow myself to be taken where the highest intent within me would have me be. And I always say that, you know, it's not about the doing, it's about the being. As I be is as I see, and as I assume a state of being is how I see my world. And, you know, there are distractions, there are interference patterns that show up, and those interference patterns are really just ego remembrance, you know, the patterns and the programs that we were taught that made us become separate from the true state of power that we have in truth, in a self-realized state. And if I allow myself to be caught in any of those interference patterns, I then become a victim to those circumstances. And today there was a very interesting conversation that happened on the phone. I got a call from a lady telling me that she had been burdened by someone that I've been burdened from and through for a very long time. And in a sense, it was wonderful for me to have the validation, because I really felt so alone in this experience. And no matter how much I expressed my innocence, I felt almost like, oh, my God, you know, am I making this up? Is this person really stalking me as bad as I feel he is, you know? And basically she said the same thing. But for me, I choose not to get caught in that mindset, because in this world of opposites, there is this not so lovely, you know? In the relative mind, there is the opposite of love. There is the opposite of joy. There is the opposite of peace. And so I choose not to allow myself to be taken where I'm not. And for me, that has become my strength, because I need to be vigilant in every moment for God and His kingdom. I need to know that the only safety that I have lies in knowing that I am one with God. Because nothing of this world has any power but the power I give it. And so I'm in this house alone right now, and I'm feeling the sense of trepidation and the remembrance of being alone, maybe as a child, and the possibilities that arise in the innocent mind when she feels alone. And if I allow myself to sink into that remembrance, I actually become a victim to that fear. And so what I always say is, in the world of the stage, and that I am the director, and what I see in my perceptual world is an actual play of what I've assumed my world to be. And every character plays exactly the role that I'd have them play. And there are it's the protagonist and the antagonist and the lover and the leading man and woman and so on. But the reality is that as long as I remain in the conscious moment intent to keep my play in love, it's beautiful. It flows. It's awesome. Everything happens so perfectly. It's a dance. It's a divine dance. But as soon as I buckle at the knee, or I react, or I defend, I then become a victim to somebody else's drama. And if I allow myself to come into that remembrance and be caught in that web, then I do become a victim. You know, so I constantly teach that, to learn that, that I need to stay true to what I've come to realize, that I am one with the infinite power of love. And so with that in mind, I choose not to turn around and look at that which burdened me, or turn in that direction and look at that that's trying to lure me. You know, I use the story, fairy tales, as beautiful metaphors, because, you know, Pinocchio is a perfect metaphor for the child who has awakened and then goes back into the slumber, the dream of forgetting, and gets lured into this candy land, fantasy land, where he's actually being set up to hurt himself, to become an ass. He becomes an ass in that environment, and he's made to feel like a puppet, you know? And so we have a choice in every moment to do that. We have a choice to stay present, knowing that we are the one, the child of the Most High, the Christed one. Or we can become a player on the world stage, the relative stage, and become then how that world would dictate for me to become, for us to become. So for me, it's not at all, once you're conscious, once I became conscious in time, there's no turning back. I can fall back sometimes and slip back and you know, bump my head and you know, go into a little bit of state of forgetting. But to deny the truth once you've awakened to it is insane. It's insane. I remember in the 12-step, they used to always say, you know, it's like doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. You know, we do the same relationships. We do the same diets. We do the same jobs. We get the same employers. We get the same everything until we realize that we really have not changed our mind. And we bring forth that which we think we need to do over and over again until we get it. And then we get it, and then we start another pattern. And anyway, it's not at all, I don't think, from my perceptual world anyway, a possibility that once you understand that you are the maker of all you see, that you would continue to do that which you don't love to do. So I think that's what I want to share for now. I'm going to open the line because there is somebody here, and I just want to see what they've had to say, if they want to say anything. And bear with me, because I'm really speaking out loud, and as I always say, as I teach is as I desire to learn, that I need to learn. And for me, talking out loud resonates as a learning device for me. I really learn well when I speak, so that's what it's all about. And I'm going to open the line, and I want to welcome you to the Love Channel. Who's calling?
Hi, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia. How are you?
I'm great. I know you say you were foggy, but were you doing readings tonight?
Actually, I was looking for a reading tonight. I was actually
really?
Looking to...
I know, that's what I picked up.
I'm looking to get a message tonight because I'm intuitive. I usually in a channel. I usually bring forth information for people that I will probably for you by the end. But I just feel like I need a message tonight.
Well, it's funny because as you were talking earlier, it was not coincidence either because I was just on Facebook myself and I saw someone posted magic is a world without magic. It's something that's not a world, but it was a metaphor on magic, kind of
wow.
What you were just talking about. So it was right in there in sync with what you were saying.
And, when this happens more and more to me lately, the synchronicity for me is not about coincidence. It's about me revealing to me what I need to reveal to me. And it's made known in my world. So you and I obviously right now are connected. There's no time, space. There's no wall between us. There's no. I always laugh about the phone. It's such a joke because I'm really just talking out loud. The phone is just a prop that I use to make myself think I'm talking to somebody else. But in truth, there's only one. So you and I came together in this moment as perfect mirrors for each other. And so you come to tell me something, and I come to tell you something. So what do you think you came to tell me tonight?
Sometimes it takes a little bit. Sorry for the dead air. It takes a little bit of a minute
okay.
Let me. What is your name?
Ananda.
Ananda.
Yes.
So, okay, what I'm getting is that kind of almost like what you just said, but you're unfolding,
mm-hmm.
And the word I keep getting is rat race, that in some ways we're all caught up in the rat race.
Mm-hmm.
But that's ending. That's ending for you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
That's exactly what's going on in my perceptual reality. I feel like I'm at the end of a cycle. I pulled a card saying that last night at the class, too, and that it's really hard to let go of what was in the ego sense,
Yeah, that's funny because I'm getting this heaviness. I'm feeling kind of heavy and like it's almost like you need to actually viscerally, you need to do something to like purge whatever this thing is, like feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there's a, maybe it's an emotional block, maybe because you said it's a fear of kind of wanting to surrender exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you know it's always the inevitable part of it, but
mm-hmm.
It's like getting there, kicking and screaming. Feel like there's a heaviness, like I almost want to say do a 24-hour kind of like a light diet, kind of
mm-hmm.
I don't want to say a juice cleanse or a fast, but something kind of like that, maybe broth and a fast, but like something that your mind and your body can surrender to the inner peace.
Right.
And so that you are not overworking the whole process and let
mm-hmm.
kind of like just allow this process to unfold within you.
Mm-hmm. Why did you connect with me tonight? Why do you think you did?
I don't know. I'm getting chills right now.
What's going on in your life, honey?
I'm intuitive. I like doing it. Part of me wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm unemployed right now, and I have this friend that she worries about everything. And she called me up. We're chatting. I wanted to pass on some information to her for this person that's kind of sick. And she's always worried and in fear. And she's like, "So what are you gonna do?" I go, "I don't know, but I'm not freaking out." So I don't know. I feel like there's a message for me also out there. I'm continuously allowing and continuously learning to surrender to the abundance to unfold in my life. I'm continuously, and when I say continuously, I'm happy to do that.
It's really interesting because I've never felt more at peace with what is than I do now. I've never felt more a sense of, as you said, acceptance, whatever. And I keep hearing that, whatever. You know, it doesn't matter anymore, whatever, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's terminal, you know, if it's the ending of that or if it's the beginning, it doesn't matter anymore. It's like I keep saying, whatever, you know, I don't really think that fear belongs in my reality anymore on any level, you know, and that is an interesting place to be because it, and I really feel like you're in the same space, by the way.
I do. So I really, it's funny when you, when you just said it just like that. Because it's so funny, like I'm not allowing to have fear as my reality. I mean, there's certain things I do want to make a leap forward to, but the whole gripping of the fear is not the same like it used to be.
It's wild. And it's wild. It's absolutely beautiful. But like I say, the ego's saying there's something wrong here. And I'm saying, no, there's actually something right here. You know, like, this is really cool. And that oneness and the dropping of any kind of self-criticism or opinions are going. It's like it doesn't matter what my perceptual reality thinks of me because I feel so good about who I am. I feel so content with my path, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead, honey.
No, I was going to say it's interesting because I mean, we all have lives, and we all do our curricular activities and all these other things that we do to keep ourselves moving forward and free and occupied. And it's interesting to see the other people that are in the drama, to see them just kind of enamored or just still plugged into that kind of song and dance number.
But you know, in that observation, I do realize, though, that I was there. Aspects of me, I can't deny them their right. Those aspects, recapitulating what I did in my life, and it's like I'm looking and saying I've been there. You know, so I can't. There's a peace that comes with that. It's no longer for a while. I was like, I can't do this. I don't need to be around that one. I'm not. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a second. That's just who I was. You know. There's just aspects of me that are still showing up and saying, is this still where you are? And I'm saying, to tell you the truth, I'm not. And, you know, it doesn't matter that you're there because I'm not anymore. And I think that's the peak that we need, that I need to come to stay in this self-realized position because, I mean, it's really not about another.
Mm-mm, it isn't.
So beautiful. And, you know, and again, I'm grateful for that. And I feel so great, but then this is part of me that's saying, this isn't right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be, like, feeling something, and it's like the heaviness that you're talking about, it's like I'm going in between that heaviness. It's just such a sorrow in my heart chakra. And yet the rest of me is, like, in such peace. You can relate.
Oh, yeah. I think when through this process, it's a journey-ish job / incredibly staying mindful about this whole kind of tuning into the wrong station, if you want to call it that, you know? Old negative you know, dogma, the crap you want to feed yourself. It's kind of like, oh, you better change the station right now. So, you know, so you have more of a, you know, that lie that keeps repeating itself, that lie, that storyline. It's like, oh, I don't believe that anymore.
I mean, I'm into television. I'm into silence all the time when I'm at work. And so I just stopped by the bookstore that I have been going to forever, for years, and I just stopped there. And now Joe Dispenza has this new book called You Are the Placebo. And it's actually hilarious to me, because now all I have to say to these people that have been complaining is, hey, there's a new book out. It's called You Are the Placebo. And it's like it stopped any possibility to stop right in their tracks. It's
right.
Like me putting in front of me this illumined shield and just reflecting back on that after themselves, their own insanity. And what I might have been insane as I was in that mindset, you know. But it's not even for that purpose. It's just such a delightful experience to just say a title of a book and know without a shadow of a doubt that it's absolutely pure knowledge that came through, that comes through that book, which is what I've been living for the last 23 years. I mean, I've been living what that book is saying. And so everybody, you know, Ananda, oh, here she goes, or the rose color, whatever. It's just me judging me. But to have that analysis to say, I got your answer, you know, you got an issue? Well, look at that, you know. And anyway, it just feels like it's a whatever mindset. I remember when I went to L.A., oh, it must have been in my early 20s, the first time, and they had the bumper stickers everybody just said, whatever. You know, I was like, and that's like really cold. But now it makes so much sense. Whatever. You know, whatever. That's all I ever need to do or say or be.
Right.
Pretty cool. We have another call. Let's open the lines, but stay there. Don't go anywhere. Hello, who's calling?
Hi, Amanda. It's Sabrina. How are you?
Honey, how are you? Come on, join in, baby.
You know, I think you've taken from my post that I've been better. We did just bury somebody unexpectedly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Know.
You know, and it brings you to, you know, like, you know, in the grieving process, you know, a lot of the spiritual leaders wanted to mention how the sorrow of the heart, you know, I think you know that I've been guarding the Holy Eucharist, and I've learned that sorrow is one of the blessings
right.
that you encounter, because, it, you know, it's part of everything, you know. It's not just the sorrow, but it's about being at present with your life, and sorrow is part of life, and happiness, and joy. I mean, nothing wouldn't exist without the sorrow, but it's in times of sorrow that your heart is way open.
Yeah.
And, you know, different spiritual leaders from different denominations came to speak to us because it was a young death, and they brought up the story of Lazarus and Martha and Mary asking Jesus, why didn't you come and save our brother? And they didn't really get to the point that through Jesus, we're all saved, you know, so I could take comfort that we'll be reunited again eventually. And, you know, we're selfish right now. We want her here in the physical. We want her here with us. It's hard. It is, you know, I mean, because, I mean, it's kind of, it's a beautiful thing that living in the present, my memories are so, I could feel a hair between my fingers, you know, and yet that also means that I have to feel great pain right now, you know, even though I know it's a selfish pain, because this is just temporary. I mean, I do have faith, and I believe in the eternal life, and life everlasting, and that's not here. Here is a temporary existence. Here
but
is a physical, visual experience, you know?
But in the same respect, the spirit is still there. It didn't go anywhere. It's just walking to another reality, but the spirit I am is always there. So for me, it's not even about losing or being old. Because when you start losing consciousness in this reality, spirits do appear, and those spirits were always there. You just start seeing them because you're putting your attention on that rather than this. And that's why, to me, quantum physics is so mind-boggling, because it really says what you put your attention on. For whatever reason, that aspect of you left because you didn't resonate with it at this point. Because
right.
In truth, we are living infinite lives simultaneously. And so that you're with that person now, somewhere else, and you'll always be with that person somewhere.
No, but that's what I mean. That's exactly what I mean. It's like I would want to call it memories, but it's not memories. I'm praying for her. And I'm thinking of her, and then she was right in front of my face. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it was like the little girl was right in front of my face. Now, she's grown since then, but I just, I don't know, I just saw her in our most happiest times together.
Right.
And she came to me, like, there was things I forgot about her, but I mean, like, so clear that I could count the freckles on her face. It's different. It's different when you have that perception. You're sad, but you're also rejoicing because you know that through the salvation, you will be with her again, that this is happening all simultaneously. And
right. And, you know, that mourning process has nothing to do with her. We know that. You know, that sorrow has nothing to do with her. This is the separated state, that I believe that I could be separate from the one. And anything that ignites that remembrance causes a sorrow. Tonight I swore that I saw the one that I called the one everywhere I went. That I saw him, I felt him, I heard him, I saw him again. And I was like, I'm having sightings of this aspect of me. Why am I? Because he's coming into my life. Why? Because my attention's on him. So he has to be here. And when you start becoming conscious and realizing that, it's really profound, because that's how you shapeshift and you go in and out of reality.
Well, I do believe that in those memories or what have you, she was, like, visiting me. I do believe that, you know, because it was, like, a different type of thing. You see, this is the first time I lost somebody I took care of.
Right.
You understand? It's a little different. I mean, I'm not the girl's mother, but as a sitter or whatever you'd call it, it's
right.
Very... this thing it's just like, you know, when you just love the little one and you protect them with all your life, and then they grow up and
right.
You lose touch. It was one of those things. So I'm heartbroken.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's hard, you know. It really is difficult, you know.
And every step in for me, you know, I believe everything's just a metaphor, and I know it sounds cold, but I do believe that everybody in my life is an aspect of me. And when my mother and I had the knowing, her and I, on whatever level, spiritually, that she did the job with me, she left. She said, I feel love. First time in my life. Thank you, my daughter. And she went.
Right.
And I felt
her acceptance.
Well,
I believe that everything happened for a reason. And the time she was in my life was that time for that reason. And,
right.
You know, I mean, like... You know, 15, 20 years by, and I still see them as children. And when they see me, their eyes light up because they remember those happy days. And when you live
so
in the present,
so what did she represent for you, honey? What did she represent for you now? What did she represent for you? Her essence. What did it represent in you, at you, for you?
I don't know how to separate and divide. I feel like she's a little girl I wasn't able to protect at this point, but. In her memory. I can't.
Where is that little girl in you? Where is that little girl in you? You know? That's the wounded child in you that you still have not, you know, brought back to the state of remembrance that she's loved completely, you know? Everything always comes back to me. And remember, Freud said that everything in the dream is you. Everything in the dream is me. Everything in my dream, waking or sleeping, is me, teaching me about me. And when I feel deep sorrow, it's an unresolved issue with me that I have not addressed yet. So this person, I always say, sacrificed her life to show you something. So what is she here to teach you?
See, something in me feels like she didn't know how much she was loved until she passed. Does that make sense?
So you don't feel how so much that love yet?
Well, like, listen, like she knew I loved her, right? But she wasn't thinking of me. Does that make sense? And now she realizes.
So let's take her out of it and just say, what did you say? I knew that I loved me, but I wasn't thinking of me? if you just put it from the I am perspective, can you just do that? See what that feels like?
I don't know how to put it.
It's something that you might want to just look at, because it is. This is all for you. Everything that happens in our perceptual reality is for us to awaken those that still sleep. Prayer is praying without ceasing, knowing that God is I am. Otherwise, it's cursing. If I see somebody less than they are, I'm telling them that they don't have God within them, and I'm going to pray for them. There is nobody in this perceptual reality that is a one with Jesus, that is a one with Christ, that isn't Christ.
Right. But that's
so
where my comfort comes
you,
from.
Right. So what I'm trying to say to you is, what is that little girl right now in you feeling?
I can't, like, separate. It's separate from me, and I can't explain it. She feels love. She does.
That's beautiful. But why is it separate from you?
Because it's hard on me. I can't explain it.
You don't have to explain it.
She is in my perceptual reality. She is part of my perceptual reality. She's taught me everything. Everybody teaches me something. And my own experience, which is different from everyone else's, and likewise, you know.
What she teaches?
But in her perceptual reality, she didn't realize how much she really was loved until after she passed. I do believe that. My perceptual reality.
How do you know that?
I don't know. That I can't answer. I don't know how I know that. I don't know how I know that.
I always say that if somebody leaves me and I don't get it, then they left me in vain.
I know that. I know that God has a reason for this that I can't see.
God didn't do this. God has nothing to do with this, honey. God has nothing to do with taking people from us. We do it. God is only infinite love. Nothing else.
Oh, yeah, no, I know, but let's say, I don't know how you would describe it, but, like, let's say I was murdered by the hands of a man. Do you know I have no fear of that whatsoever? I have no fear of anything. I don't fear death anymore.
That's beautiful.
In my life, when it's my time and it was already written down somewhere, it's my time. And if
that's talking about, I mean, Sophia and I were just talking about the fact that it's all about acceptance. So we've all accepted the fact that whatever is. But what I'm saying is, so somebody came in my life to teach me something, and I didn't get it. Now they leave, and I still don't get it. It's going to happen over and over, which I said in the beginning of the show, until I get it. So why don't we just all get it right now? Why don't the three
right.
of us just figure out what it is that this little girl came to teach us?
The part of me that I identified with was the soft-spoken love that I may be a little bit more boisterous about. You know, she was more soft-spoken, and like when, you know, I don't know, like when she loved you, you felt it because, you know, when she warmed up to you. Does that make sense?
What does warm up to me now? Sophia, do you hear any of this? Do you feel any of this?
Yes.
Does it resonate for you?
So
what do you pick up?
Okay, two things. First of all, the whole storyline about her not knowing that she was loved kind of doesn't really matter, because she knows what she knows, whatever that is. And at the end of our lives, we're not like contemplating, you know, I wasn't really loved, and she's loved. And what she came to teach you was to love and to open your heart bigger and to see that she came into your life to influence that you had a big heart, probably bigger than you thought.
So now what do you do with that, honey, that big heart?
I don't know right now.
I know, honey. All right, so you just keep loving. That's the only way.
I do. You know, it's just a little, I still see the little girl that knew she could trust me and I'd protect her with my life. And children are amazing in a way that they see past, excuse my French, but they see past all the bullshit. They see right through you. They know what your heart is.
and those kids knew that they could count on me. Mm-hmm. And then they grew up.
I have something to say. Can I say something?
Yes.
Sure.
It feels like right now. What's your name?
Sabrina.
Sabrina, are you married?
No.
Okay. So
I'm in a long-term relationship, but I'm not married.
Okay, so it's funny because we all want that love. We want everyone to see our hearts, even our mates. You know what I mean? How vulnerable and how tender and how caring you are with this child, that they have the perception to envelop you in that way, that we want our divine mates to envelop us in that same way. It's almost like a transfer of awareness, like she sees me for everything that I am. She knows my true identity.
Right, but that's how it was. I mean, it's
right.
Just...
But it's kind of like, you know...
It's like I didn't see these kids for 20 years, right? And her little brother saw me at his sister's wake and beamed and was smiling. She's like, I'm so glad you're here. And I'm like, stop. I'm like, easy, kiddo, you know? And I'm like, I haven't left. I'm right here. Just call me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime or anything you need. And I don't want them to come to that understanding because I think in life you forget about people that loved you. Like, I'm not saying she didn't know she wasn't loved or whatever. It's just in her turmoil, I don't think she thought of me, and it was so apparent in her awakening, you know, when she passed. Like, I really did get that notion that she realized, and not in a harmful, hurtful way, in a beautiful way, you know. Like, she didn't see it the day before, she sees it now. I don't think you worry about who didn't love you when you pass.
Right.
I think you realize who did. You know, I mean, think about people from 30 years ago in your life that you may never see again, but they're like, every time you walked in the room, they were like, look who's here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to forget people, but then you see them again, and it's like you never left, right?
Yep.
So it's one of those things, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm kind of in the selfish stage right now. Like, I have 100% faith in eternal life. I really, really do. I mean, half of me is mourning in the church and half of me is saying praise God, you know, and that's basically where I'm at right now. I want to say whole may praise God, but right now I'm just a little selfish. And,
mm-hmm.
You know,
it's okay.
And I'm also worried about the immediate family, you know, one... It's my best friend's little sister, so.
All right, so what about you, Sabrina? What about you in this whole process?
I don't know. I think maybe because, I don't know, maybe I just absorbed a lot, you know. My best friend's going through it. Everybody feels guilty. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say to her because what do you say, you know? And what's going on with me with it. It's just, I feel exactly as my best friend said it, and I failed her.
You know? Feel like you failed her, you said?
Oh, yeah. I think if we, you know, something could have happened before that, had we not been there when we were, and, yeah, a little bit. I mean, not that I think...
I gotta go back. It's for me. I gotta share this with me because the same thing happened in class. That there was a guy that was incarcerated for a lot of years. He must have hurt somebody bad drinking, and he was in the class and he was saying, you know, I can't be selfish, and after all, it's about others, and the truth of the matter is, it's not about selfish, it's not about others, because it's only about you. So if we go back to you, who are you not there for?
Who am I not there for? I mean, no, I'm just. When I mean selfish, it's like I think it's a little selfish to say, you know, what's not fair and what's not right and what should be and what shouldn't be, you know. It's really...
All right, but for just a minute, would you do this for me and play a little game with me?
Okay.
All right, let's pretend that little girl is okay and she's somewhere, but you're feeling these feelings. Where are they coming from? Who's not here for you, baby?
No one. I don't know what you mean. No, that's not what it, when you said go back to, like, she's really still here, it's just, she's happy.
Right. Right, and you're not, you're saying that you were really
well,
not there
for her.
Well,
that's what I mean. I'm being a little selfish saying she should be here with us. That's what I mean, like she should be, I know, I, you see what I mean? Like I do, I'm just, I, maybe because it's so fresh, Amanda, and I just need a couple of days, you know?
You don't have to make any kind of allowances for what you're feeling. I'm just seeing something that you don't see, and maybe it's just for me. So thank you for, you know, sharing your heart with me, because I really feel maybe I had to hear once again that I have to be here for me. So thank you.
Right.
I appreciate that. I really appreciate that, because if I'm not here for me, I can't be here for anyone. So I teach
right.
my classes, but the reality is I have to teach me to remember that I am one with God, remember one with love. And when I do, my whole world knows that. They all feel loved. It's not outside in anymore for me. It's inside out. And that's just the way it is for me. It doesn't have to be that way for you or anybody else. It's just my perceptual, you know, knowing. And I'm saying that if I get it, that aspect of me left me because I did not see a worthy to be loved, then I got it. Thank you, God. And that wasn't a leaving it in vain. And then she or he shows up vicariously in another body, the same energy, the same love, and I'm feeling it now, and I'm sharing it now, and I'm experiencing it now. Because the only thing that's happening is a formation of my thoughts and my feelings and bodies. And those bodies mirror for me what I feel about myself or what I am not feeling.
Yeah, for me, it's not about, I realize it's not that I don't feel like I'm worthy about receiving love, but maybe I don't do it right. Maybe I don't give it right. Maybe, I don't know.
When I came to the awareness, and this was not too long ago, that the giver of all is within me. I'm only the receptacle. I'm only the receiver. I can't get it from outside, and I can't give it to myself. I got to allow the love that is, the perfect, divine, universal mind of love to bestow upon me the kingdom, to give me the love. And when I receive it and I'm full, everyone feels it. So
right.
It's no more about figuring it out there and giving it out there and caring out there. I am a natural expression of God. Now, when I serve, I'm serving God and I'm serving love itself. And I'm
right.
doing that as a dance. There's no thought about it. It's just a complete experience, expression of love. And people will come and people will go, but they're not going anywhere but where I am. I'm taking people where I am. And whether I do it vicariously by having them leave or having them live there, and I'm here, it doesn't matter. They're doing exactly what I feel about myself. So if I feel lost, I will lose someone. You know? If I feel unloved, I will have someone leave because they don't feel loved by me.
I was praying for somebody else over how she passed away. I thought that was kind of ironic because I didn't see it coming. I don't want to get into details, but I was praying heavily for somebody else. And this came from left field, and I had no idea. And, you know, I don't know.
We have a minute and a half left. And again, if you want to continue this, baby, and chat later, I'll be happy to do that. I love you guys. Thank you for being here. Sophia, it was a pleasure meeting you, honey. I hope you'll call again. And my email is anandraoflove@aol.com if you want to communicate with me. And I'm anandraoflove on the Facebook or one of my pages anyway. Also, the Love Channel is another group that I have. But for me, it's to remember that I am one with the one. And to bring myself to a place of high esteem in God and know that whatever that will be for me, that God's will be for me is, and to remind myself all day long that God's will be done. God's will be done. Not my will, God's will.
Right.
And, you know, anyway, I love you guys. Have a beautiful rest of the week. And until we meet again, you know, it's only love. It's all it is love. All righty. Good night, angels.
Thank you.
Thank you.